And I think my favorite part is when we're going to catch listening to this episode back and you're laughing in the background. You were fucking dying. It was so... This episode brought me back to the episode with Alex and like how fucking vibrant Alex's personality is also alongside Maxie's.
Yeah. I can't wait till she has her own store.
That and like if Cafecito Hours actually ends up becoming a podcast, because talk about fucking entertaining, delivery, confidence.
You can have your own coffee network. She could be part of the Beans Without Boundaries coffee network.
I have no idea. I'm at this point where I'm living in the wrong fucking state each time I talk to New York people.
True. That's true. It's, I mean, you got enough invites. You could be in New York for a month. And living, you wouldn't have to see a hotel room.
I don't know about that. People have their
house boundaries. They'd house you up.
I don't know what she was talking about that Peruvian place. Oh my God. And sounds a Henny Colada?
Sounds good.
Oh, God. Sounds great.
I think, if nothing else, there are some really good stuff from that episode. Yes, it talked about being a barista, and I think talking about the industry, so there's a really good stuff, but it's that... they're the people behind the bar. They get personality.
Yeah,
come on.
I'm not gonna lie though. People like her are not just like a barista thing. Like that's a very much like her quality and her personality thing. And I've just met a lot of baristas in my time being a barista for 4 or 5 years. I still kind of am. That it's just like that much personality and vibrancy. A lot of people would try to subdue that. A lot of people would put that shit in a box. But like, I just love that she was like, I'm a menace to society and I'm okay with it. And I'm like so proud to be loud. And like, and she was so upfront about her experiences with like clients too. And like, doesn't give a fuck. Versus like, I've seen so many baristas who have to put on a face and not be their authentic self. And I think that this episode just goes to show how much more like attractive and likable a personality is when you're in your authenticity and you're just being upfront. I think that like there's this like sense of almost whitewashing that a lot of like the Midwest kind of struggles with versus a lot of the East Coast. Like a lot of East Coast people we've been talking to, love them. They're so upfront and real and like unapologetically themselves. The Midwest is still struggling with like breaking that boundary. The West Coast is more chill about it. So it's just really interesting, this like dynamic of people we keep interacting with. And it's been a while since we've had someone a little bit more like with gusto, with confidence, with this like air of like trying to break shit up and like apart and like throwing it away and just not even looking back kind of personality. And it's like, it's always refreshing, and it's always a fucking good time. I was dying this whole episode. Like, I really don't think any of what we were talking about was coherent, but at the same time, I feel like I would listen to this episode again just for them. I don't even care about me in this episode. I'm like, them as a person, I don't even give a fuck. I would listen to them again. And then a lot of people are going to miss the opportunity of the fact that this one in particular is not on video, because the way that they delivered everything that they said was just so much more entertaining to also watch it. So it's like, honestly, if they end up making a fucking podcast, best believe I'm also going to help support and blow that shit up for them, because they deserve that shit. They're a fucking gem.
Yeah, I love they're entertaining it. Mm-hmm. They too many people have told them, do it. You get the personality to it. It's finding the time. You know, obviously they've got a lot going on, especially with the catering not doing what they thought it was going to income wise. You're always strapped for the buck.
Back to the actual premise of what we were talking about. Being a barista is such a fucking hard financial security job. Like, there's absolutely, like, no real, like, concrete reliability financially with being a barista, because it's, like, the service industry ridden of baristas get underpaid for what they do, so they survive off of tips. So if people decide not to tip well, they don't make enough money to fucking be able to pay their bills.
is that job set up to be just a revolving door? Do you see?
There's a huge turnover rate with being a barista. So for somebody like me who's worked in the service industry in different avenues, front and back of the house, the turnover rate as a server is the same shit as the turnover rate for a barista. Servers have a lot more different brunt force of like customers overall, but a lot of it is just like extremely high, fast pace, extremely stressful, and constantly having this poker face of being unbothered and multitasking up the ass. And if you aren't somebody who thrives under all that, it's really hard to be successful in those fields. So a lot of people won't stay. They'll be like, I'd rather be doing something a little bit more mind-numbing and making more money versus like her saying that she loves what she does and is still sticking around and dealing with the shitty people anyways. It goes to show that like being a barista is actually a lot of fucking fun. Once you learn the knack of it, it's a constant creative outlet, and it's just constant like networking and socializing, and it gives a platform, just the servers have their own, of where you have this common suffering and understanding in different ways of describing it. And there's literally so many like content on social media, on television for people who have been baristas who work in the service industry, that is just this community. You're just growing it.
Right. Yeah, because she kind of talked about that you know, when she opened up her shop, she's going to train them. And so I could see where, okay, if it's a revolving door and you own a shop, why am I training this barista? Because I know she are only going to be here for a year. They're doing it for a part-time job because they're going to college, blah, 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 whatever the story is. So I could see why an owner would not put the time in. But if you put the time in to train your barista, guess what? That person becomes an entertainment focus for like 5 minutes for customers, and you see the customer every day because they want to interact with that person every day.
I will say too, from somebody who's watched different avenues for businesses rise and fall with their work staff, you putting in the amount of investment to your staff is what you're going to receive out of it. So if you don't invest in your staff and you don't create that kind of good work balance of like what's expected out of you, how much I can compensate you, and do not stretch that person, and you give them proper time and training to learn the ways that you would like them to perform, you will get a great staff member. Yeah, you're going to have the same person that's going to like probably take all that shit and throw it out the window, but the likelihood of somebody sticking around because you genuinely treat them like a good person and give them the tools they need to succeed, that's like the biggest thing.
It's almost like two levels. Okay, so you're respecting your employee by doing that person right, trainer, and yes, they may not stay there forever, but you're doing the time you're spending with them, a year, year and a half, 2 years, whatever the case might be, is going to be quality time. And by putting that time in to your employee, you're actually giving respect to your customers.
Yeah,
your customers are going to be there a lot longer than your employees, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Probably. You know, their repeat customer may go to the same coffee house for years because of the customer relations that they receive, whether it's a different person behind the bar or not. It's that, wow, consistency. They're always happy. They're always, mm-hmm. you know, and yes, life happens. You find another job, you move, that sort of thing. So you're going to lose your employees. But if you put that time in, you're helping two people. Really, you're the person you fired and your customer.
I think another thing is like I have a shop that I go here locally that every time I go in, the staff are always having a good time. And like they could take as long as they need because I can tell that they enjoy what they do. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not as bothered as
if they remember what you order. Do they have that point?
My wife and I
used to go to this Chinese restaurant in where we both grew up, and this we'd go once a Sunday, maybe once a month. Mm-hmm. This woman remembered exactly what we ordered. Again, it wasn't extravagant, but it's like that to me is like locally owned run store, and you remember people's orders.
Yeah, restaurants are harder to do that.
That's hard. They're hard. Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure coffee shops are too. But it's like, oh my god, yeah. And coupled with, okay, I know what you're going to order, but I'm going to throw something a little extra. You should try it. You should try it because you like this so much. Mm-hmm. You should try this. It's an upsell, if nothing else, you know, but it's like, but I know you like this. You're going to love this.
I mean, that's just relationship one-on-one.
Exactly.
Because the more you get to know a person. But
we grind it out, though. It doesn't happen.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that this is going to go on a whole subject topic of business running and business management. But, like, everybody has the way they want to run their business. But I think a lot of what's lacking in this new age of coffee scene is, like, this lack of... Like, it's getting colder and colder, I feel like. A lot of it's becoming a lot more unapproachable, and a lot of people who are running their staff to the fucking ground aren't compensating them enough, but giving them more responsibility, like she was talking about having to teach people and not compensating them. And I just think businesses need to do better by their employees. I think that whenever I do open my own shop, like, the one thing that's going to matter to me are my employees. Because businesses forget that employees are your business. They're not just a working force. They are now the first people that are going to be interacting with your business. They're going to be the first people to have put a face to what you're creating. So if you treat them like shit, you work them to the fucking ground, and then you don't help them out, they're going to fucking treat your business like trash. And then guess who that's going to be a reflection on? It's not the fucking employee. It's the fucking managers. And I think a lot of the time, a lot of people who work in the service industry understand that as a collaborative effort, that, yeah, there are shitty workers, but at the end of the day, half the time comes back from management or owners. And it's even harder for smaller business people. Like, after working in corporate and working in small business, like, the differences of how you're treated, some of it's worse working in a small business because it's so much more emotional. You're building emotional relationships with a smaller group of people versus being some kind of like pawn in a bigger scheme of a business that can just constantly replace you. You have more of an attachment and a liability if you are invested in the business, and that's so much harder to break versus being seen as somebody who's easily replaceable.
Right. Yeah. You almost want to. And where my mind went with this was at a job I used to have of selling airtime at a radio station. And one of the radio stations I was at, the sales reps actually interviewed sales reps coming in. It was part of the interview process. So it's like, if you have other employees, interview employees, it gives that potential new employee an opportunity to ask, how's it like working here? What do they do without having to ask that HR person or the manager or the owner, however big the company is. And again, we may not be in a situation where, you know, you can't be too picky because the way unemployment is right now and people not wanting to work QSR, quick service, you know, restaurant, or, you know, I guess the coffee realm can be placed in that as well, too, to a certain degree, because it is quick service, quote unquote, you know, but it's tough all the way around. It is. But I think if you do the right thing, I love her attitude, like, yeah, people of color. People coming out of jail.
Yeah, incarcerated people, I think, is definitely not talked about at all.
Right, and it's kind of in the group of veterans at the same time. Veterans never get a break either.
Mm-hmm.
And they should. They should. But yeah, the incarcerated for sure. I mean, yeah. They made a mistake. Hey, give them a shot. Right. You know? Come on.
I think that if the more that you kind of like sit the more that you kind of like what we're doing is literally externally processing this episode, the more you get to see the little hidden like cookies in between. Because, you know, when it's happening, it's all in a fucking tornado. And then the more that I'm sitting and I'm thinking about it, I'm like, wow, there's some really good tidbits that you could take away from this.
We get to step back and look what the tornado damage was. Oh, yeah.
That
pencil stuck in the ceiling. Yeah, that was interesting when that happened.
That house upside down, I remember why. Okay, there's fire just like blazing in the fields. I wonder where that comes from. Yeah. Yeah, literally. The more that, like, I feel like this is a kind of episode where it'd be really good to listen to the post show, because I think a lot of people are going to sit and initially hear that episode and be like, that was absolutely a mess, and then the most entertaining mess, and then they'll come and see what we're talking about.
Yeah. When you asked her about the hot take, I'm going, this whole episode was a hot take.
Honestly, though, I wanted her to be more concrete. I loved the scatterness of everything, but that me pointing out wanting a hot take comes from me wanting something concise. Like, what is it that bothers you the most? And then she delivered.
She delivered, though.
She delivered, and then she delivered, and then she kept delivering, and then the delivery was just at my doorstep, and I couldn't pick it all up. And it was just like, boom, 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 boom. I was like, damn.
Yeah. It wasn't just that clients or customers are wrong. It's like, I'll tell you why they're wrong.
Right.
It's just not because I'm having a bad day and we don't want to do that. No, we can't do that.
The latte art on cold drinks got me. That was funny. I was like, they're stupid.
Yeah. Somebody had a genius idea in a marketing department meeting and, oh, we could do that. We'll get some baristas. Well,
I think it's funny, too, because it's like that just goes to show what marketing has absolutely no knowledge on the coffee world.
Right. Exactly.